For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Lord's people are striding into His presence this weekend with a lot of things on their minds or in their hearts. Not only is there erratic behavior among the world's nations, there is also the deep concern over family members' health. Not only is there pushing and shoving as people work to be successful, there are also parish communities more concerned about their actions rather than the Lord's. Not only are there actors and entertainers convinced that we are interested in their opinions, there's also the wondering why people do what they do. Not only is there a growing inability to honestly relate to others, there's also the stubborn thinking that you and I can improve on the Lord's ways. Slicing through these many things is a vital question. What is the point of tonight's gospel? You and I are quite familiar with this passage, and we do know that this is the time for various crops to be growing in South Carolina. Is our Lord giving us a lesson in agriculture with this parable about seed planting? A quick first look would indicate that this is the case. The seed in the parable was thrown out by hand. The seed around our homes can be distributed by drop or broadcast spreaders. The seed around our farms can be distributed by tractors pulling equipment that drop the seed exactly where it needs to be, guided by computerized systems that provide for a maximum harvest. Working off this look, then, would bring you and me to the conclusion that the parable's point lies in making sure that the proclamation of the gospel does not get wasted. That is, that it lands successfully in more than one place out of four. Perhaps, though, you and I should hold off on that approach. Like last Saturday, we're dealing with another reading that has a gap between its two sections. It is significant that at the end of the parable, verse 9, there is this phrase spoken by our Lord, "He who has ears, let him hear." That phrase is unpacked in the gap verses, 10 through 17. In verse 15, Jesus notes that people, because they are wrapped up in themselves, will listen but not hear. They will see, but they will not understand. In verse 16, Jesus quotes Isaiah, noting that the heart of the people has grown coarse, that their ears are full of hearing, that their eyes are shut. In and around tonight's gospel, then, our Lord is ordering you and me to listen and to hear three times. And recall, too, that the biblical meaning of listen is much more than a casual notice of something. It is an actual receiving, and it is an actual doing of what we have heard. In order to cut through the natural self-absorption and the dullness of the life into which you and I are born, it is necessary for our Lord to command us to honestly listen to what He is saying in this parable. That phrase in verse 9, then, brings you and me to the explanation in the second part of the reading. What dominates this explanation, and it's rather hidden, are Jesus' references to the Word. This Word is the reality streaming from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it is described by the Hebrew word dabar. It occurs nearly 400 times. In the New Testament, it is described by the Greek word logos, and it occurs more than 300 times. Simply put, the Word is the speaking and the doing of the Lord God. The Word streams out from the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures. These holy writings are its only source. It bores in on the world's people from eternity to eternity. Now, the Word is identified most clearly with the Son, Jesus Christ, and is most clearly expressed in His crucifixion and resurrection. The Word's activity breaks people away from the world's life. That life, as attractive as it may be, is the one dominated by the unholy trio of our enemies, sin, Satan, and death. Thus, it is significant that our Lord mentions this eternal reality 6 times in His explanation of the parable. He describes the people here who hear the word of His kingdom, but they do not understand it. The unholy trio snatches away what could make a huge difference in their lives. Jesus describes the people who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. Such people, however, do not have deep roots. When there are difficulties in their lives, or they are being thrown into turmoil because of the word's activity, the joyful reception disappears. Our Lord then describes the people who hear the word, but the pressures of the world's anxieties and the deceptiveness of its riches choke their reception of it. Here, too, the unholy trio is able to push off the world's activity. Finally, Jesus describes the people who hear the word and understand it. Their lives receive it, and they reflect it on differing levels. The parable's point, then, is not trying to improve one hit out of four, but the point lies in the activity of the Lord's Word. This activity encounters difficult and wrenching circumstances, but it is the Lord's intent to keep bringing it to the people who are helplessly trapped by the world's life. The Lord desires to rescue people from the life given them by the world at birth, and His desire is to embed them in the life that He gives you and me at holy baptism. Tonight's gospel, then, is much more than a lesson in agriculture about seed planting. What our Lord is doing this weekend is grounding the ministry of His parish communities in the activity of His Word. This is both refreshing and energizing. Through the Word's activity, He has gifted parishes with the 4 holy places of baptism and the Scriptures, forgiveness and the Eucharist. Through the Word's activity, these places stand at the center of a parish's life. They make it possible for the Word to be reflected to all those who are grasping for it. Tonight's gospel also makes it clear that such work is not easily done. The unholy trio unleashes everything it has to ignore, to blunt and to distort the word's activity, because to them, that activity is death. And there are times when parishes will cave into the attractions of the unholy trio. But the Lord will continue to press that word into the life of his parish as well as its members, because it is life to them. That's why you and I assist the Lord's people in the actual recalling of their baptisms on a daily basis. That's why we provide numerous opportunities for the scriptures to be read, to be heard, and to be studied. That's why we offer publicly and privately the Lord's forgiveness. These are the moments where you and I confront our sins, confess them, and are restored through his forgiveness. And that is why the liturgies of a parish's week are dominated by the Lord's Supper. It is vital for his baptized people to be eating his body and drinking his blood as often as they can. The word keeps pressing the realities of the Son's crucified and resurrected life into our own, so that we in turn can reflect them to the world in which we find ourselves. May our lives continue to be crossed by the Lord's holy places, so that we may remain embedded in the life he has given you and me. May our lives continue to be crossed by those holy places, so that when the Lord orders you and me to listen to him, we hear. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.